My name is Annie Laubert, and I'm a champion survivor of trafficking to tell you that God can heal you from any hurt that's ever happened to you. If He can do it for me, He can do it for you too. Hi friends, it's your girl Annie Laubert with Annie's Pink Chair, where we invite presence, inspire purpose, and ignite passion in people's hearts with God's love throughout the world. And today, friends, this is part two of my preach. We're going to talk about discouragement today, trials, and giving up. And here today, your life's going to change if you really pay attention. God showed me something. This week and last week has been horrible. And even like about a month ago, like I have been going through so much. And I totally was like telling God, hey, this isn't fair. I just want to start over. You know what, God, why do I have to do this? You know, this is your work. You're like, I just feel like I don't have enough energy left. I'm tired. I'm really struggling. And one of the things that's helping me make the struggle, you know, making me feel like the struggle is really bad is the fact that donations aren't what they are supposed to be right now. And I'm like, well, Lord, how am I supposed to continue doing this if there's no financial stability? Like there's nobody giving to our cause that really can keep it going. There's, you know, we're going to this phase in our ministry right now. And I don't know if some of you don't know what I do, but I help women get out of the sex industry. And I have two homes, two safe houses that get them away from their traffickers. And we're trying to get away from government grants. We're trying to get into more foundational grants and to private donors so that we can actually have freedom to do what we really need to do to help get these ladies healed. Listen, Jesus is the original trauma-informed care. I'll say that again. Jesus is the original trauma-informed care. Everyone talks about trauma this and trauma that, but honestly, y'all, trauma is this. You know, it's when something really, really bad has happened to you. And complex trauma, and I'm talking about, let's say, a car accident, a death in the family, maybe someone raped you, and I don't want to make light of this at all, but that can cause trauma. That can cause psychological trauma, okay? Also spiritual trauma. But how about this? You ramp it up to the next level. It's called complex trauma. And that's when you're in a situation and you cannot escape it. Child abuse. You got parents you can't leave. You're in an abusive, toxic relationship with a boyfriend or a husband that is hitting you, yelling at you, emotionally abusing you, and you can't leave. This can create complex trauma. It's anytime you don't feel safe. People that are in war, that are war prisoners, can have complex trauma develop inside of them. They've already got PTSD, but if they're a prisoner of war and they can't escape, this can cause complex trauma, which complex trauma can cause so many things. Nervous disorders, anxiety, eating disorders, ADHD, different personality disorders, like borderline personality disorder, DID, dissociative identity disorder. All these different things can happen with complex trauma. In fact, with me, my main thing was when I got out the first couple of years, I would be driving my car and I would have a complete anxiety attack. And I don't even know where it came from because I never dealt with the trauma. I never fully allowed Jesus 100%, give him my heart to heal my trauma. And I'm sitting there in the car. I had to call my friend up and say, I can't drive. Take me to the hospital. So I went to the hospital 7 times. And the doctor kept giving me Xanax to try to cover up. See, you can get, you know, nothing. There's nothing against psychotropics and helping you through your trauma, friends. But to lean on that as a crutch the rest of your life, that's a problem. Yes, the Xanax helped me to a certain extent. It helped stabilize, but it didn't get to the root of the problem. The root of the problem was my broken heart, my heart full of complex trauma, PTSD. So I want to talk about, you know, healing today. And I want to talk about when trials come to you and you are formally a person that was traumatized, and now you're getting new trials. How do you deal with that without getting triggered? Okay. You guys, let me tell you the secret. Everyone has a special sauce or a special way to get healed from trauma. Or, oh, this is how I deal with trauma survivors and this and that and the other. Let me tell you my secret special sauce. His name is Jesus. Jesus, fully surrendering to him and reading his word, I am telling you, has changed my life. Studying the Bible has completely turned my life around to where I've got this faith that no one can stop. No devil in hell can stop my faith. And even though I may struggle and I may wake up with a bad day, or I may go to bed having a really hard day, a struggle, a day full of trials and mishaps and worries, I know I'm confident. And when I wake up, I ask God to help me. Give me dreams to solidify my faith with you, Lord. When I wake up, I'm going to have a good attitude. So that's what happened this morning. Yes, friends, I'm sitting here in front of you, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm struggling. I can't share everything with you today, but in the future episodes, I will be breaking this down and sharing you what's actually happening right now in my life personally, inside the ministry and outside with my husband. I'm married to a wonderful man named Oz Fox. He's in a band called Striper. So I've got things that are going on that are so difficult. I don't even know how. It's like either I'm using a disassociation skill or something. I'm dealing with this and I don't know how I'm dealing with it. But I do know this, is that every day I'm purposing to lay it at God's feet. I'm laying it at Jesus's feet because right now he's the only one that can change the situation and make it better. Okay. So let's get into it, friends. Let's go. Get your Bibles out. Okay. Or your phone. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4. Okay. And this title chapter I'm reading out of the NLT today is called Treasure in Fragile Clay Jars. It says, therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. What Paul's talking about there is following Christ. Christ is the way, okay? He's the new way to walk with God, the new way to work out our life problems, the new way to do what God wants us to do with ministry or what he has called you to. It says, we reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. So in other words, other people that are also telling the truth can tell that we are telling the truth. It's just like this. If I have another survivor watch me that's been in the sex industry, most likely that survivor will say, she's been in the sex industry. I can tell she's telling the truth. Because if you've been where I've been, you'll tell me, Annie, you're not lying. That's exactly what happens. So I love what it says here. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. Okay, I used to take men's money and tell them, hey, give me this money. I'm going to do this for you. And yes, I did what I said, but I never lied about my feelings toward them. Some guys would want me to fake love them. And I'd be like, I'm not going to lie and fake love you because I don't love you. Okay. So that's one thing that I never did. And I never stole from my clients. I should say tricks, because they are actually John's tricks buyers. It says, we don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. In other words, I am not going to take this word of God today with you and try to distort what it's actually saying. I'm going to give you the raw deal. What I see God's, what he's saying to me through what Paul's saying. It says, if the good news is we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Okay? He, the devil, would put his demons out to try to talk to you, try to blindfold you from the truth, from believing that God's going to get you out of that situation, right? Says they don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So, and this is also pertaining to people that don't believe in Jesus and don't have a faith system in their lives yet. They're just kind of like I was, walking around blindly, just doing my life, doing me basically, living selfishly for me, and then giving all my money to a pimp. Okay. It says, you see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, he is. And we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. I love that. So we're here, friends. You're here, if you're a believer like me, to light up the darkness, right? We are supposed to be vessels of light, okay? Clay vessels, but vessels of light that people will see Christ's love shine in our hearts. Okay, it says we now, verse 7, have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. Friends, if you think for 1 minute that I'm doing this show and I'm doing the ministry God's put in the call on my life and I'm being married to my wonderful husband and it's not without God's power, you're highly mistaken. I can't do this without him. I can't do this without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I have no power. I don't know how I could be sitting on this little, cute, beautiful pink chair and talking to you about the truths coming out of my heart if I didn't have Jesus, okay? We are pressed, verse 8, on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. Y'all, I feel pressed right now. I feel pushed. I feel like I'm stuck sometimes. But it says right here, we are not crushed. You know why you're not crushed? Because if Jesus is inside your heart, Satan can't crush Jesus. No, it's the opposite. When Mary was pregnant with Jesus, okay, she was told that when that baby comes out of her, that baby was going to crush Satan's head, and he did. As soon as he died on that cross, Satan's head was crushed. The serpent's head was cut off because forgiveness came to the world in the form of a sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb of Jesus and his blood. So good, right? We are pressed by on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. Okay, I am perplexed. I feel like this is me right now. I got questions, God. You ever got questions for God? You're like, God, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? What is the purpose? I don't understand this. This is driving me nuts. Like, I'm like, Lord, why are you taking me through this hard time? I don't get it. But you know, I don't need the answers. You don't need the answers to your problems right now. You know what you need? You need to believe and trust. It says, we are perplexed, but not driven to despair. So despair is like the end. You're going to quit, right? Then it says, we are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. So the enemy hunts us down. He tries to get in our head. It might be through people, through a TV show. It might be through a circumstance, through the way someone's treating you. It might be, maybe you're getting kicked out of your house right now. Maybe your bank account's completely empty. Maybe you got fired at a job and you don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know where you're going to work. But maybe, just maybe, God allowed this so that you would get something different and better. Okay? Maybe he has something better for you. A different situation that he can't give it to you until you surrender. We are perplexed, but are not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. During this time, friend, I want to just reassure you. I'm going to reassure myself. God is not going to abandon you. It says it right there in the word. He is not going to abandon me. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Yeah. Anyone can relate to this, please? Oh my gosh. I feel like the breath has been kicked out of me. Oof, knocked down. But it says right there, we are not destroyed. Satan cannot destroy us. He does not, unless God gives him permission, he cannot destroy us. Okay? I'm not destroyed. That means you're not destroyed. I don't care what you're going through. Then it says in verse 10, though suffering our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Okay, we're suffering right now. You're suffering right now. I get it. I feel like I'm suffering right now. I've got some health issues. And not just that, my husband, okay? Brain cancer is nothing to shake your head at. Like, I'm sorry, but put yourself in that shoe. Wow, Lord, is this what you're giving us right now? Like, see, first of all, disease does not come from Jesus. All disease comes from the enemy, okay? So it says, yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus. Uh-oh. Oh, don't want to read that. Don't want to hear that verse. Verse 11. Yes, it says we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus. So why? Why should we serve Jesus? Here it is. So that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. Yeah. As I do this work, I suffer. You suffer as you do your work, but the evidence of Jesus and his hope and his love is going to be evident in our dying bodies. I profess him. No matter what's going on, I profess him. I believe in you, Lord. No matter how hard it hurts, how dirty things are, how scared I get, how fearful I feel, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. Say that with me. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you. Though my body is suffering, though my friends' bodies are suffering, I'm grieving, Lord, but I trust you. It says, so we live, verse 12, in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. See, Jesus died so that we could have eternal life. Wow. Okay, let's skip down to verse 16. This is the icing on the cake and the entire reason why I am here today, sitting in this chair. Okay? Let's talk about it. We're in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. That this is why we never give up. Listen closely, my friends. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Every day. You cannot deny what that says. Let's say it again. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles, verse 17, are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So what you're going through right now is producing a glory people are going to talk about. God's going to be looking at going, oh, look at you. Hey, Annie, look what you did here. You hung on and you didn't give up. I am so proud of you. Watch the angels watch you. Watch these other humans watch you. You are a great, perfect example. You are my trophy of grace. You are my trophy of hope. You are my trophy of not giving up. I put you through this so I could show others. I trust that girl. She's going to make it. She's going to do this thing. I chose her. She's my vessel and I love her. She's my daughter. She's my princess and I knew she was going to make it. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Verse 18. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. Woo! Best thing I ever heard. I don't know about you, but man, I needed to hear that. I needed to read that. Yeah, they will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever, forever. Lord, I don't see you in this, but you're going to last forever. Lord, I don't see the purpose of this, but I know you're going to make something great out of this. And this is a tool and a lesson in my jar that you're going to give me that's going to last forever. Y'all, let's go right now. Real quickly, let's switch to the Message Bible version, okay? Because what it says in there is so good. Let's start with verse 7 through 12 in the Message. If you only look at us, you might as well miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. So Paul's pretty much saying, we're just some plain vessels. We're not anything special. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. So we don't take credit. You don't take credit for this. I don't take credit. As it is, there's not much chance of that. You know for yourselves that we're not much to look at. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles. But we're not demoralized. Okay, hold on. This is how I fight my battles. Mm-mm-mm. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. Yes, on our knees, my friends. In prayer, putting our heads bowed to Jesus, saying, Lord, whatever you want to do, I give you myself fully as a vessel. Fill me up with your love. Fill me up with your peace. Fill me up with your hope. Fill me up with your joy. And let me shine for you, Lord. It says, we've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. My friend, God hasn't left your side. I want you to say that with me. God hasn't left my side. Woo, this is good. We've been thrown down, but we haven't broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. He lives. Our lives are at constant risk for Jesus' sake, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in us. Y'all, I can't do this without him. Trust me, I cannot. Let's say that one more time. Our lives are at constant risk for Jesus' sake, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in us. While we're going through the worst, you're getting it on the best. Wow. Then it says, verse 13 through 15, we're not keeping this quiet, not on your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, I believed it, so I said it. We say what we believe. And what we believe is that the one who raised up the Master Jesus will just as certainly raise us up with you, alive. Every detail works to your advantage. None of this is going to get wasted, my friend. Nothing, the pain, the tears, the worrying, the despair you might feel, the loss you might be having, none of this is going to be wasted, but it's going to be used to your advantage. How do I know? Because it says right here. Details works to your advantage and to God's glory. More and more grace, more and more people, more and more praise. So what's the conclusion, friends? We're not giving up. How could we? Let me ask you a question. You feel like giving up? Well, you don't get to. If God's called you, he's going to pull you through it. So we're not going to give up. How could we? Even though on the outside, it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times. Woo! The lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. Friends, I don't know if you know what that says, but what I get out of it is God is with you. He sees what you're going through. But God has chosen you, and he is going to get you through this. He is not going to leave you or forsake you. He's going to stick with you. You got to stick with him, okay? And even though you look like you're going through H-E-double-L, right? And you feel it and you see it, in all reality, God's going to use it for his glory as a teaching tool. And you're going to learn something from this. And you're going to bring a bunch of people to Jesus. Do you see the whole purpose for this? More grace, more people, more eternal life. That's the purpose, my friends. You have to look at this in a different way. We are going to be bringing more people to heaven. We're going to be getting more people saved. And so if that's what he's doing, and I honestly don't like it. I don't like how this feels. I'm struggling, but I'm sharing my struggle with you, friends. I just want to encourage you today to just give it to God. Let's just surrender. Let's do it for real this time. So let's pray. Lord, we just read in your word about trials. And Father God, I know my friends can relate to this. I so relate to this. We want to just trust you, Lord. So I'm asking for grace right now. First of all, the grace for our eyes to get open so we can see what you're really doing. And Lord, to help us understand to a better capacity why. We don't need to have everything answered, Lord, but teach us. Show us what we're going to supposed to do for you, Lord. What our call is, whatever that looks like. Show us why, Lord, you're going to use us. But also, today, we're going to make a declaration that we are going to lay it down.